Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, final hour here on a Thursday. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles in for Damon and Ratto. And now it's time to catch up with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Also brought to you by SFO. Go to flysfo.com/holidays for your chance to win $1,000 toward a nonstop flight from SFO today. Coach, I'm sure being at home for the holidays and getting a win over the Grizzlies and a couple of wins this week has made for a nice Christmas holiday week. But I got to ask you right off the top, how's it been otherwise? You get any fun gifts this Sunday, this Christmas?
not really. Kind of beyond that stage at this point in my life. But I'm good with just a win. So a win on Christmas Day was awesome.
And really, I mean, how nice is it to be home for the holidays? I know you've said in the past that 8 games can be a little long. You're not quite to that point yet, but when you see the schedule and you're flying home and you got a couple of days to lead up to it and then home for the holidays, that's always a nice thing, isn't it, for a team?
Oh, yeah, especially coming off that trip that we were on, 10 days on the road. And obviously it was a struggle, just 1-5. And I think we landed at 3:30 in the morning when we came back from New York. So that trip was a haul. So to turn it around, get home, win some games, be with the family, I think everybody's feeling a lot better about things now.
Steve, just like you said, that trip was tough for a number of reasons, but one thing that did come from that trip is the young guys got a decent amount of playing time, and now they're starting to play well these last couple of games. Do you think that maybe what happened during that trip could be part of the fruits of the labor now in this homestand and the young guys starting to understand what the team needs from them in order to get these W's?
Yeah, I mean, I think the opportunity that comes with the injuries to some of the key guys means that the young guys are gonna have a chance to grow, and I think that's what we're seeing. That always comes with growing pains. There's just gonna be tough nights like the two in New York, and nothing is ever easy or linear. It just you're gonna have some ups and downs, but the guys need reps, and when you see JK starting to to really become an excellent defender and a guy with a real role on our team, and then you see our two-way guys seizing the opportunity, playing so well, Ty and Anthony, and just overall the team kind of gelling and starting to gut out some wins, it's just great. It's a great sign. You can just feel things starting to shift.
Coach, Patrick Baldwin mentioned last night post game that he thought for him and even some of the other guys, the second half in Brooklyn, as ugly as that first half was, but you guys were competitive in the second half and the young guys really got a chance to all play and play together in that second half in Brooklyn. He thought that really helped him and helped the group just get more comfortable and feeling like they belong and can do some things on an NBA floor together. Do you think there's been a help from the end of that game that's maybe carried over a little bit for the guys in these last three since you've been home?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we always tell the players that, you know, there's no such thing as garbage minutes. I mean, every minute is an opportunity for a young guy. And the previous night at the Garden in New York, it was a really rough go in the fourth quarter for our young group. And the next night in Brooklyn, you know, we're getting blown out, but those guys come in and, you know, kind of, you know, 20 points off the lead, and they're knocking down shots, and yeah, they're getting some confidence. I mean, that stuff carries over. And I think you saw that last night with Patrick. I thought the game shifted with, you know, with his 3-point shooting.
Steve, we've been debating this all show long. And the question is this, Coach. Does it feel like your team is starting to turn the corner? I think me and JD are both of the mindset that you're starting to, but you're not really ripping around it yet. Do you feel like your team is starting to turn the corner? And if not, what more do you need to see from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think until we win on the road, it's tough to say we've turned a corner. But I will say that last night's game and the night before against Charlotte, it just felt different. It felt like we, you know, we had to really gut those games out, and we were doing things that we were making winning plays. You know, one of the things that happened last night, we had a couple of fouls that we used kind of late fourth quarter. And they weren't, you know, we weren't automatically giving them, but we were forced into them because of what was happening on the floor. But we weren't in the bonus yet. And so it was just side out of bounds. And, I mean, you guys know this. For most of the season, those fouls are free throws because we're fouling so much early in the period. Now teams are getting free throws every time there's a foul. So just that alone, for me, makes a huge difference. You know, defending without fouling leads to better control of the game, and then it allows you to be a little more aggressive defensively, you know, late in the games. And that's something that happened last night. So there's definitely been a lot of growth.
How valuable has Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb been, and just how impressive is it for a team to get so much out of two-way players and being ready and making an impact?
Yeah, those guys are really good. I mean, you know, Ty has been in the league for a few years now. He's rock solid. Anthony's a four-year college player and had a great year in the G League last season. So both guys have a good feel for the game and have, you know, been through some stuff. They've got some experience and they know how to win. So they've been great contributors for us this year. And with the injuries now, we're really keen on them and counting on them.
It probably too early to worry about it, but there is the 50 game limit on those guys and the playoff eligibility. And maybe if you're healthier, it's less of a problem, but, I mean, could they force a difficult decision? I mean, you guys have had to convert guys in the past, and it's really helped you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have both those guys on our roster. It's just, you know, right now it's not conceivable. We you know, we do have one roster spot left, but we're kind of hanging on to that, and we'll see where it all goes. So, you know, as this plays out, it's possible both of them could end up on the roster, but we just have to see how it plays out. I know both of them are worthy of spots for sure.
Coach, this is the longest stretch you've played without Wiggins since acquiring him. Have you learned anything more about what he means to the team, you know, in the process of, you know, trying and struggling at times to stay competitive, specifically on the defensive end without him?
Well, I'm not sure that I've learned anything that I didn't already know. I mean, when we got him 3 years ago, it was we were in such desperate need of athletic big wings to guard. And Andrew's been so good defensively throughout the playoffs last year. He was one of our key guys, just guarding, you know, every opponent's star perimeter player. So when he went down, I knew, you know, we were going to miss that. But it's emphasized when you're going, you know, night after night on a road trip and you're facing, you know, these great players, whether it's, you know, Halliburton or you know, Brunson or Kevin Durant, or, you know, you just from one city to the next, you got Giannis, you've got Chris Middleton. You're just dealing with all these stars, and that's where it's really exposed. Just, you know, Wiggs' absence is really felt.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I want to ask you about Klay Thompson and go back a little bit to the early part of November. And I think you had said at one point in a press conference, Klay probably wouldn't play in back-to-backs at any point. And then I think you got asked about it toward the end of November, maybe 3 or 4 weeks later. And you had said, hey, it's possible, obviously up to the training staff, but it kind of changed. And I'm curious, did the shift come from the training staff, or was there maybe a scenario where Klay Thompson kind of came in and said, hey, I want that option to at least be available to me at some point, even if it doesn't necessarily come to fruition?
No, that came from the training staff. You know, I mean, Klay wants to play every game. It's just a question of whether it's possible for him to do that, and that's up to the training staff. So, Rick Celebrini told me, he said, you know, that it is a possibility that that Klay could get there at some point, but we don't feel comfortable doing that just yet.
Coach, where would this team be without Dante DiVincenzo? You know, he missed some games early, and I was talking to JD about this. He's a guy who, in two back-to-back games, he was almost two completely different players in the most positive way possible, because he knew, okay, Klay's heating up a bit, you know, a couple nights ago, I have to be a distributor, and then last night, okay, Klay's out, I have to be a scorer of the basketball. His ability to evolve into whatever the team seems to need, how important has that been, and how important has he been for the squad?
Yeah, Dante's been great. He had the early season hamstring injury that kept him out of 7 or 8 games, and that kind of slowed his progression and his integration into the team. And I just felt like, that once he came back and started to get a rhythm, and then with the injuries that we had, he started playing, 30, 35 minutes. Last night, I think 38 or 39. And that allowed him to really kind of let loose and get more aggressive. And I think he's found his stride now. I love Dante. He's a competitor. He's tough on the ball defensively. He's a playmaker offensively who can knock down shots, but also, be a secondary ball handler and pick and roll. So Dante's a winner. He's tough and gritty, and the guys love playing with him.
Steve, I want to go back to just the young guys and their ability to become better role players, right? We always have this conversation about the high-end ceiling for all of them and what their careers can ultimately be. But then right now, what you guys are basically asking them to do is be role players on a championship team. Is the last three games sort of what you guys envisioned it might look like at the beginning of the year, and maybe what's changed from the beginning as far as that's led you to this point where you're getting more out of them when you really need to get more out of them because you're banged up?
Yeah, I think, what was interesting about the beginning of the year is we knew who our top six guys were, and then we didn't really know how the pieces would fit after that. And who was going to play? You know, we had a lot of young guys and a couple of new guys, and the combinations are everything in this sport, and we had to figure out which five guys fit together and which didn't, and all that kind of stuff. So it's shaking out now pretty well, despite the fact that we've got injuries, or maybe because of the fact we've got injuries, we're really getting a chance to see the whole roster, but we're getting an idea of who we can count on and coming off the bench and what combinations we can play.
Yeah, and one of the great aspects of the Warrior fan base is how excited they are about everybody, the superstar players and the championship guys, but also the young players. And the question that we get all the time, and I get it a lot on the post game show, is you want this guy to play more. Patrick has a game like he did last night. You want him to play more. And Kuminga's obviously played better, and Wiseman's gotten a little bit of run. As you get healthier, How do you formulate and just kind of explain to the fan just how you formulate a rotation plan for on a given night when you're healthy, right? You know the guys that are going to play a lot of minutes, mm-hmm. but how do you sort of pick and choose between, let's say, 9 or 10 and how you break it down?
Yeah, well, we map it out every night and then sort of use that as a, you know, rough draft. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to follow the script, but we kind of map it out to try to get to certain combinations that we think will work. And then, of course, stuff always happens, you know, foul trouble or injuries or, you know, maybe, you know, something that's happening on the floor isn't working out well and you need to add a shooter or, you know, add a big guy, whatever it is. So all that stuff is mapped out beforehand and then you kind of improvise as you go during the game.
Coach, last time I was on this show with you as a guest with Damon, the talk of the town was the discontinued dribbles, and we had a nice conversation about that. I've noticed, you know, for Jordan Poole specifically, I haven't seen as many calls, and I was just curious, is that something that he's been working on or the team in general, just in terms of, hey, if they're going to call this a bit differently, we have to change some things?
Right. Well, I think the ones he was called for early on when they really made an emphasis on that rule, to be fair, they were pretty egregious, you know, watching them on film.
Yeah.
And when you watch a game, you can watch almost everybody carries the ball. To me, what the league is cracking down on is the really egregious ones, and so I think Jordan has made the adjustment, and he hasn't been called for one now in a while. And I think that's the idea. I mean, it's just they're just trying to take away the really bad ones. And but it's you know, it's different. Every crew is a little different. Every officiating crew kind of has their own tendencies, and you have to know what those tendencies are when you go into a game.
Steve, what's clicked for Jonathan Kuminga as far as just defense and energy? And, I mean, did you as a staff try and maybe simplify the role for Kuminga? Because, I mean, I go back to the Charlotte game a couple nights ago, and it felt, just watching, almost as if he was willing you guys to the win, which was like, wow, kind of a moment with the rebound and the pull-up and you know, the dunk and everything else, the defense, the rip-away on P.J. Washington there in the corner. What do you think has clicked, and have you guys maybe asked him to do different things, or is he doing more of what you've always kind of asked him to do?
Well, I think number one, he's been really good defensively. We've challenged him with that, and he's worked hard at it. And then I think honestly, what happened was he realized that's his ticket to playing time. You know, he's like all young players. He wants to score. He wants to become a high scoring wing, and he's got that potential. But it's not what we need from him right now, and it's not something that we're really looking to for him to do, because we've got an established team, a championship team. We know how we want to play. So JK wants to get on the floor, it's got to be at the defensive end, and he's doing a really good job of recognizing that and following suit.
Coach, we watched James Wiseman in that Grizzlies game, and even though it was limited time, he was really affecting shots and affecting the game. How would you say he's coming along, and how would you evaluate his play as of late?
Yeah, James has been good. You know, his stint in the G League was really effective. Wasn't just the 7 or 8 games. It was, more importantly, the 3 weeks of practice. You know, in the G League, you really only play 2 games a week. He got about 3 or 4 good practices, and I thought Seth Cooper and his staff did a great job of really, giving James the reps that he needed that we can't give him up here because of just the number of games that we play. And James did a great job of absorbing that, and it's translating now to the game. I think he's getting a lot better defensively. It's exciting.
Steve, just quick couple of just injury updates as far as just Andrew Wiggins goes and Steph. Is Steph doing anything yet as far as, just any kind of little basketball activities? I know he said he hadn't picked up a ball. I know you guys have a date coming where you're going to reevaluate and all that. But is Steph doing anything? And do you think Wiggins, is he officially out for tomorrow? And what's his status kind of leading toward maybe Monday?
Yeah, so we were targeting last night's game for Wiggs. And then he came down ill a few days ago. So, he was healthy enough to play from the injury, but then the sickness kept him out. So hopefully, a couple of good days of workouts and scrimmages, and he'll be ready to go. Let's see, who else did you ask about? Steph.
Yeah.
Steph has been, he's been doing a lot of stuff on the court. So, he's getting a lot of good work in. He's really coming along well, and everything is progressing.
All right, Steve, great stuff. I really appreciate the time, as always, and guys will be back next week.
All right, guys, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you, and we'll see you down the road.
All right, Happy New Year, Steve. All right, Steve Kerr, head coach of the Warriors, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff.
Yeah. As always. Yeah, I mean,
Steph's been doing stuff.
Steph is doing stuff.
That's a little bit of news.
Yeah, Steph is doing stuff. I mean, I really love what he was saying about the two-way players and how their roles have, kind of shifted and how they've been up to the task. I mean, JD, it is really tough to not say that they turned the corner yet, but I agree with him, and that's how we started this. There's versions of the corner. This is a piece of the corner, but ultimately, you got to do this stuff on the road for you to feel like these guys are really moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I still maintain you got to keep doing it at home,
right?
Especially if you're going to be shorthanded. And Steve didn't really he gave us a little something on Steph, not as much on Wiggins. So we're waiting for the official injury report's going to come out in about 10 minutes. So we'll get the update via the official channel.
As
far as
one for two is pretty good.
As far as Wiggins go, but no, that's big because Steph had said a week or so ago that he hadn't even picked up a ball yet when he was on the TNT. So that would have been, I guess, 9 days ago. That was during the Knicks game, which was a TNT game, and he was on with that broadcast. So that was 8-9 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the reevaluation point, I think, is coming a week from Saturday on the 7th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's starting to do stuff, I think that's certainly a positive sign.
Do you think that he'll wear anything on his shoulder when he plays?
Good question. I don't know. Something to keep it from maybe popping out.
Yeah, I'm always down for, masked LeBron or masked whoever. So
you're just saying from an aesthetics point of view.
Exactly. If we can get,
you want to see something coming through the jersey?
Yeah, shoulder guard Curry or something like that. And then he's going to get on a stretch where he's just on fire.
Like a sleeve?
Yeah, sleeve Curry.
Sleeve Curry.
Sleeve Steph went crazy, dude.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. That's interesting. Has there ever been, I'm trying to think, was there ever a point, he never wore a headband or anything, did he?
He did, didn't he? Didn't he have a little stint?
Early
headband
in his career, though, right?
No, I think it was It might have been the year.
Was it the Portland year? Did he wear a headband and then rip it off and go, the year that he...
Something like that. He definitely wore a headband at some point.
Man, I mean, there are people, I'm sure, out there that know that. I know the Warriors schedule.
He definitely wore one in the All-Star game, but I'm not counting that.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's just, I know he has at different points, but I want to say there was a time where he ripped it off and then he... Maybe that Portland game in 2016 in the playoffs.
An initial Google search does not have any pictures of Steph with a headband. They have Steph at the All-Star game, and they have
without a headband.
They have
Seth with a headband.
Seth with a headband. Steph at the All-Star game, but no Steph. Oh, I see one with Steph and cornrows and a headband.
Okay,
so
do we know what era that was? That was.
Let's see here.
That's in the last 5 or 6 years,
that
right?
It was 2020. He had long hair in 2020. It was everything went down and they didn't go to the bubble. That's what it was.
Oh, man, okay.
Yeah, it was a weird time for Warriors. Warriors fans.
Those are some games that I've omitted.
Right.
Those are some scheduled dates.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew it was somewhat recent. He had cornrows.
More recently than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, hell. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay.
With the headband.
Sense. Okay. That wasn't the time, this was, because he only played one game in 2020 before everything shut down. Remember, he had the injury.
Right.
And then he came back for one game. And then remember, there was the game where people thought he had COVID. Right. And he didn't.
Maybe, you know what?
But I think he missed it, was the year, nil, and then like 5 days later, everything was done.
I think it was the year where they lost to the Grizzlies in the play-in.
Okay. So the next year.
Yeah, I think it was that year. 510 is chiming in, butt pad Curry. That was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, butt pad Curry. So now we'll have sleeve Steph coming your way.
All right. Good stuff there. But good news if he's already on the court a little bit. That's very good news, because again, we always talk about, oh, we reevaluated and that doesn't mean he's coming back. Well,
right.
It could mean he's a little closer to coming back though than, 2 weeks away from being 2 weeks away.
There you go.
Which is good news for Warriors fans. So our thanks to Steve Kerr, John Dickinson, and Alan Stiles here on 95.7 The Game for all the best content. You can head to YouTube, search 95.7 The Game, and click subscribe. You'll hear and see, more importantly, all of our shows live, the best interviews, the most interesting segments, behind-the-scenes content from the Warriors, and more. It's all on the 95.7 The Game YouTube page, so subscribe now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, final segment. As we're here till 6 o'clock, John Dickinson and Alan Stiles. Final show of the year from my guy Alan Stiles.
That's right. I got to unload it.
So, yeah, whatever you got left on your sheet, let it fly here, baby. In the next 20 minutes or so before we get out of here. We did get a text message from the 925, said, hey guys, can you ask Coach Kerr about Andre Iguodala? And the answer is no. I mean, we could, but the answer is no, we're not going to. And here's the reason why we're not going to. This is Steve Kerr from a couple of weeks ago with Damon and Ratto.
He's going to play at some point, but we just don't have a date. I mean, the whole point is we just want him healthy in the playoffs. And he's working every day with our training staff. He's getting shots up. So the answer is yes. Just stop asking, and at some point he'll be back out on the floor, and then we can talk about him then.
Yeah, and Ray Ratto had said, hey, Dave, should we, stop asking? And yeah, just there stop asking. So, but that lives now until Iguodala's back. So anytime, it should just permanently live on every show soundboard over here next to the mic that can be played. That just, anytime anybody asks about Iguodala, you can just drop that in from time to time. We should put it in like a promo.
He'll play when he plays.
And don't expect it soon. And as we talked about a little bit yesterday, I think they felt they wore him out last year.
Yeah.
So they didn't get anything from him really in the playoffs because he was so good at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff from Steve Kerr, including a little bit of breaking news, maybe, as far as Steph being able to do some court work, which is a step toward being able to make a return. I mean, he's been dancing around on the sideline and coaching guys up to a point. I mean, he raised his arms. I think you mentioned somebody had said, hey, he raised his arms during the game in celebration here over these last 3 days. So, why can't he get back out there? Well, apparently he's getting back out there and starting to get a little bit of work in. Obviously, the Warriors not having a practice today, and practices are pretty limited and light with so many games going on right now. But all in all, that's a very good sign, I think, for somebody that now is going to be reevaluated officially, 9 days from today.
Well, and I wouldn't say that it changes things, but I do think we are to the point where it keeps an eye, you keep an eye on it. And I think that JD over this road trip they might get to the point where you start looking at, okay, how long, they do this every year with injuries, how long can we survive without Steph? So the longer we can survive, the healthier he feels, so you don't have to rush him back. So it, really, you don't want to see Steph back as soon as possible. In a weird way, you don't, because that probably means that the Warriors feel like they need him.
No,
right?
Well, there's some light at the end of the tunnel, though, I think.
Exactly. Which is good, no, I agree.
But
yeah,
it doesn't change what this team has to continue to do to prove that they've turned the corner.
Like in the interim.
In the interim, which is win games. Like, the year 18-18, and I know Steve Kerr brought up, I think, the obvious point, but it's important, the fact that they haven't done it on the road. So that's his barometer. Mm-hmm. Can't say we've turned the corner until we do it on the road. Well, they can't do it on the road for another, what, 2 weeks, I guess, from tomorrow's the next road game.
They starting to.
But to me, the one thing they can do is make sure that we're not a couple of days from now, or 5 days from now, talking about, oh, they're 3-2 on the homestand, and they're 18-20 again, and the young players didn't play, you know, well, and they don't have enough, and, you know, Wiggins isn't back. And by the way, just on that note, the injury report for tomorrow's game has been officially dropped, and Andrew Wiggins is officially out with the non-COVID illness for tomorrow. I know Coach Kerr had mentioned he was doubtful last night, really said the same thing, echoed that with us here. But Andrew Wiggins is out. Steph Curry's out. Jamichael Green remains out with what the Warriors are now calling a right lower leg infection. So that's a little bit of a different deal than he had been categorized as before. And
that
then,
doesn't sound great.
That doesn't sound great. And then Iguodala, he had been previously health and safety protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamichael Green out. And, yeah, Curry, Wiggins, Jamichael Green, Iguodala out. Dante DiVincenzo and Draymond Green. Right knee soreness for Dante, right foot soreness for Draymond are both probable for tomorrow. So that means they'll be in.
Yeah.
They're in, and the Warriors have needed them to be in to this point to help them win some of these games. As far as looking at Portland, no Gary Payton II tomorrow, obviously still. Nurkic is probable. Nothing crazy on their injury report. Justice Winslow's got a ankle sprain.
This is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one, and I know you're going to break it down even more so tomorrow, JD, but this is going to be a tough game for the Warriors. And look, you really need DiVincenzo out there. You don't have DiVincenzo out there for those guards, that'd be a long night. That'd be a long night. Specifically, you know Dame. I know it's in San Francisco now, but Dame normally plays the Warriors pretty tough.
Yeah, he loves coming back.
He loves it. He's got his fam in the building and his Modelo commercial, all those types of things. So Dame's going to be ready. And again, Anthony Simons, when we talk about the Jordan Poole deal, Anthony Simons is another guy in that group of the young up-and-comers that who's going to be the biggest star from this group. I say Anthony Simons, Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole. So I need Jordan Poole to continue doing what he's doing and take it personally. I want Jordan Poole to say, look, I know you got your money just like I got my money, but I got my money for this reason. You're on my home court. And I know Jordan Poole is going to come with that energy, and he's going to need to, because you're going to need offense. You're going to need offense, and you're going to need to find a way to slow down these guards. And if Nurkic plays, I mean, like I said, Lauri Markkanen, they're different players, but Lauri Markkanen was giving the Warriors buckets yesterday. Now, luckily, nobody else was really giving them buckets. Clarkson kind of did his thing, but there was really no other offense. Colin Sexton, I think, had 11. But another guy that we haven't talked about, JD, from the Blazers, Jeremy Grant. He's a guy who it has been a bit of an aberration, you might say, offensively this year for the Blazers. Damian Lillard has missed some time, so that has helped. So that's another guy that the Warriors, if you sleep on him as well, that's where he makes his money, because everybody's so worried about their big three, if you will, and Dame, Simons, and Nurkic, that Grant's been kind of doing his thing. So it's going to be a tall task for the Warriors tomorrow.
It is. And look, this is the second best team that the Warriors have faced,
right,
on the homestand. I know basically they've had the same record as Utah to this point. And both those teams got off to really hot starts. I think they were both 10-4, 12-4, something like that, have dipped since then, but still remained north of the 500 line, which has been something that has been really difficult for the Warriors to do themselves with all of the injuries and the up and down play that they've had to this point. So yeah, that's a tough game. And you know, I keep coming back to, and the question of the day is, you know, have the Warriors turned the corner? And look, I mean, I don't think they're going to go 8-0. I'm not saying they can't, go 8-0, but I think, you know, that's a game if they are going to lose one or two, that's one that you might not have in Steph and not having Wiggins, but we'll see how the Warriors are able to come out and hang on and we'll see. I mean, that could be one of these games that eventually matters for a tiebreaker down the line too, if everything remains jumbled up. I think the best version of the Warriors though is still much better than the best version of the Blazers. We just haven't seen that best version of the Warriors yet.
No, and obviously the Warriors are going to be, you know, shorthanded.
Portland's better than I thought, though. Like, I thought Portland was bottom five in the West, to be honest. And look, I know bottom five is basically the only teams that don't make the play-in, but right. I thought they had a great shot at being one of the odd teams out.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm looking here at this, at what the Warriors still have coming up, and basically, JD, this is between this game and the Suns game, I'm okay with the Warriors losing one of them. So I don't think they should lose both, because I don't think the Suns are playing that well. And I think the Blazers, for their hot start, I think they are beatable. And the Warriors just need dubs. So I'm just trying to be optimistic here. So you got the Blazers and the Hawks and the Pistons and the Magic and the Suns. Hawks, Pistons, Magic. No excuses. You have to win those games. I don't necessarily expect you to win both games against the Blazers and the Suns, but you got to get one of them. It's, you're still on your home court. To me, you cannot lose both of those games. You can't lose the game besides the Grizzlies game, and I'm not necessarily calling it an aberration, but they do. You know, it was Christmas. There were a lot going on. Besides that, you can't lose out of the last five games. You can't lose both to the two best teams out of those five.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, it's a matter of, I mean, coming into this thing, I think you would have said that the Grizzlies and the Suns, and look, the Suns' path has changed because we didn't know Booker was going to be out for the next 4 weeks and out for that game for sure. We didn't know that. But coming into the homestand, I think you would have said, all right, Memphis and Phoenix, first game and the last game, like those are the toughest games on the schedule. And then there's probably three games that are middle of the pack games, which would be Utah, Portland, and Atlanta. Although now Atlanta is kind of, you know, what they got a lot of turmoil and may not have Trae Young, and so that game gets kicked in a different category.
Yeah,
but that's the next tier. Let's say if the Memphis and Phoenix were initially the top tier, Phoenix maybe not as good as we thought they would be. Atlanta now maybe not quite as good. Portland and Utah middle of the pack, and then Charlotte, Detroit, and Orlando are the three that coming in you got
to
get.
You have to have them.
And, you know, so the worst case scenario would be, you know, 3-5, but those are the three that you win. You know, hopefully you'd at least on paper you'd win. But I think the scenario that you would want would be you win all three of those, you take, you know, two of the other three in that next tier, and then split the other ones, and you get to 6-2. I think 6-2 was probably the ceiling for me, given the way that they had played. And even that, I was a little reluctant to be like, boy, 6-2. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, they haven't done it
without Steph. And look, we didn't know that the home thing was still a thing because we hadn't seen them play well at home without Steph. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the part. Now, okay, now we can say, all right, they can cobble it together and fight and scrap and claw and win. Mm-hmm. But so that's good. We know the home magic is still a thing. But at the same time, you know, I'm still reluctant to say, because they're 3-0, that hey, 7-1, 8-0 is on the table at this point. Like, not off the table, but it's one game at a time, and they're going to have to play well and play extremely hard to keep it moving. And I'm also interested, you know, Coach Kerr said this in the past, the fact that 6-8 games at home can start to be a little long, and, like, you know, you almost, like, there's a little bit of complacency that can build up from being
cabin fever a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. He likes, I think, 4 or 5 games home, 4 or 5 games a row. Like, I think that's how he kind of prefers the schedule work. And so it's interesting, because let's say the Warriors do, you know, end up 4-1, you know, going into those final three games, you can't have a let up, because, and that's what I keep coming back to as far as this homestand. To me, it's more about what the night of January 10th, what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Because 3-0 we still might be talking about 5-3. And if we're talking about 5-3 off of 3-0, it's not going to feel great.
Right.
You know, especially if Wiggins is going to come back potentially for the final three or the final four games of that, and then maybe hopefully Steph shortly after that. You know, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep pushing. And I think this is a point in the Warriors season where if they do keep pushing, if they are able to keep scratching out wins, we're going to look back on it at the end and be like, all right, this is when we maybe knew that they had a little bit of action.
Yeah, and so Damian Lillard will be the biggest star that they play on this homestand, besides obviously Ja Morant. So that's another reason that it would just feel good to get this W. Based on the conversation that we have with Steve Kerr, though, I think that these guys are head down, bringing their lunch pail in, you know, and just taking care of business. I don't think anybody feels great. I mean, you feel good about getting the wins, but they know that there's work to be done.
Yeah, so far, so good.
I don't think
it's not going to be pretty. That's right. The big thing. It's not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like Charlotte, oh, he might lose. 5 minutes to go. Okay, well, you didn't. That's great. Tip of the cap. You know, Utah, they were down the whole night against Utah. Like to be, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought pretty much the whole game they weren't going to win that game. Mm. And then they come back in the fourth. Like just watch it. It looked like
that Draymond three
was huge.
That Draymond three, man.
I don't know how you viewed it, but I being there watching the game, like I just thought, yeah, you know what? It's second of a back to back. Utah's a little desperate tonight because they just lost to San Antonio. Like Utah's the better team on paper. Mm-hmm. Like they're just the more talented team with Clay out and Wiggins out and Steph out. It's like, yeah, Utah's just more talented. And
yeah.
You know, this version of Utah versus this version of the Warriors, and the Warriors were able to claw their way to it. Doesn't mean you can't win if you're not as talented. I mean,
well, that's
less
how the
talented
Warriors
teams
lost the games.
Yeah, less talented teams win all the time. And so yeah. The Warriors being able to do that was big time.
Yeah. You know, just to switch gears a little bit here,
sure.
JD. You told me I gotta, you know, fire off these tapes.
Get it out. We got about 7 minutes. Get it out.
So on the text line a little bit, the Xfinity Mobile text line, and also just, you know, social media, there's been some talks about the Warriors going after someone, and his name is Kyle Kuzma. Have you heard about that? What are your thoughts on it?
Because his name's popped up. Nothing tangible has popped up, but
there's no way the Wizards are giving up Kyle Kuzma without Kuminga. So I think that's where that conversation stops.
I'd consider that.
You consider it?
Yeah. Again, just first take without really evaluating
money.
You know me. I want to do my due diligence on everything, but my initial. But I'll also give you my initial. Yeah. I would look into that or now, and that's the second one today. I would look into. I think Kuzma's a good player. I think he'd fit great with the Warriors, and you know what you're getting from him every night. And like I like Kuzma.
I'll say
he's not a
this,
terrible
though.
Defender.
I'll say like, this though: could you have Kuzma in Patrick Baldwin Jr.?
Maybe, but not this year.
Not this year.
But that's the question. I like Patrick Baldwin Jr. I to be perfectly honest, I've seen more out of Patrick Baldwin Jr. at an early age or an early time in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like of all of the guys, of all of the young players that the Warriors have had from Jordan Poole, like even go back to Jordan Poole when Jordan Poole came up.
Right.
2019, from Jordan Poole to Wiseman to Kuminga to Moody to Rollins, you know, if you want to throw Rollins and Baldwin in there as the pick, the most recent picks of all of those players, Baldwin looks the most competent the most quickly. Like, I'm not saying he's ready to play 20 minutes a night or even 10 minutes a night, but Baldwin just comfortable shooting it. And like, and I'm not saying he's the best of all of them or anything, but he just for playing as little as he has in the NBA to this point, he looks better than any of them have looked playing that little amount of time, if that makes sense.
Right, and he's a guy, you know, we all did the background.
Like, Jordan Poole didn't look that comfortable his first two or three games in the NBA.
No.
And neither did Wiseman, and neither
and
did Kuminga.
And Poole was getting to huck it up. He was getting to chuck it up whenever because guys were out.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if that actually ended up hurting him or not, but for Patrick Baldwin Jr. to come in and really just not blink an eye and feel okay, because is this the first time, JD? I was trying to remember, legitimate playing time for Patrick Baldwin Jr. was last night, the first night he got non-garbage minutes?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And he he did not miss a beat. He got in there. He was ready to go.
No, he was. And the other part of that story, too, was the fact that he practiced yesterday with Santa Cruz.
Right.
Like, he practiced, and it was like, okay, we're going to shuffle you down. You know, Wiggins is not coming back. You're going to need to, you know, maybe not play, but you got to be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was in the plans to play last night, but Kuminga gets in foul trouble, and he's literally the next man up in that situation. So you don't have a choice to play him or not play him if you're Steve Kerr. And Anthony Lamb didn't have a great first half last night either.
Right.
But you needed him to be out on the floor as well. So, that was fantastic. I mean, he is very comfortable shooting the rock, and he's long. You know, he wasn't, if he can be just decent defensively, not crush you.
You could have some action.
He might be able to play a little bit, like already. You know, and I don't know, is he too thin? You know, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, well,
he's not Chet Holmgren.
NBA thin, though, you know.
But he's still not Chet Holmgren.
Right. Well, no, he's not Chet Holmgren. I mean, there's very few Chet Holmgren.
He doesn't seem thin to me.
No, just a little, you know, I don't know. Just like he could have guys like even Kuminga just putting it into him.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kuminga's a guy.
I mean, Kuminga's probably the opposite end of that, though.
Yeah,
Kuminga's an one extreme.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot.
If Kuminga's doing that to the other extreme.
Kuminga's doing that to grown vets in the league right now.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. That's,
you know, so by the way,
unfair.
Kyle Kuzma is under contract through the 2024 season. Well, so the 2023-2024 season.
So he's got this year and one more.
This year and one more.
At how much?
$13 million a year.
Okay.
Think about it.
I like Kyle Kuzma.
He is 27 years old.
Yeah. He's kind of young prime. He's like a DiVincenzo he's kind of in between DiVincenzo and Wiggins, maybe. Because Wiggins had a lot of experience from coming in younger than Kuzma did. He's already helped a championship team. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. You'd have to. I mean, look, calls are going to be made.
Well, but those are good. I mean, again, I don't know how much validity any of them, but those are the, I feel like those are the kinds of players, Kuzma and Caruso specifically, those are the kinds of players where I think the Warriors would at least listen.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not a 30-year-old dude or a 32-year-old.
They're not listening for Miles Turner.
It's not a complete rental.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're really listening on bigs unless, and Miles Turner as a rental, I would say no, because I was going to contradict myself a little bit. But I think if there is, I've said wing as far as, you know, what do the Warriors need? What would they be looking at? I've said a wing player. I feel like it may be a big that can shoot it. Like, you know, it kind of think Otto Porter-ish, I guess. And again, those players are not just everywhere to where you can, you know, you're guaranteed to get them. But I think if there was a big that could shoot the three a little bit, like a stretch, somebody that could be like a small ball five, almost like what they thought Jermichael Green could be.
With Bobby Portis.
In a way. Well, yeah, but you're not getting him.
You're not getting him. I say that probably every time I'm on the air.
No, Bobby Portis, I like Bobby Portis.
I do too, a lot. Yeah. If there's a version out there for the Warriors, or do you just ride with what you got? 925 says no Warriors trades on the Xfinity Mobile text line. If adding a player was all it took, other NBA teams would be winning championships. It'd take a full season to learn how to play Warrior ball. No trades. Wave Jermichael Green and sign Jerome and Lamb. That's from Dublin Marge.
All right. Good stuff there. We got about 90 seconds, Alan. So, again, last shot for 2022. What do you got in the tank? Is there anything left that we did not cover today that you have to get, or just anything you need to get off your chest? Period.
You know, the only, you know, yeah, sure. If you're gonna open
anything
it up
you
to
want,
me,
man.
Yeah.
We got a minute to go. This is I'm gonna be here tomorrow, so it's like I'm not stressing about it. I'm gonna be on the air Saturday too.
There you go. Well, I'll be back. I mean, I'll be back on Monday. Yeah. I'm doing Whitey and myself doing the morning roast. But no, just wanted to thank everybody that I've worked with. You know, it's been a year now. My first show was Christmas Eve 2021. So
it's only been a year?
It's only been a year.
Wow.
It's only been a year. So it's been a good time. I love my Xfinity, my beloved Xfinity mobile text line, even when it doesn't love me back, to all the callers, to the YouTubers that are always shouting me out. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, JD, for everything that you do. Thank you to my guys, Sterling, Grandy, everybody that I've worked with. So yeah, that's all I got. I'll go a little soft on you. To end it for the year.
Good stuff. And you're on post game.
So I'm going to be
Sunday, right?
I'm going to be out. Kyle and I am. We're both out. Sterling and Evan, I believe, are going to be the ones doing
it. So Sterling and Evan, nice.
Then I'll be back on Monday morning, 6 a.m. with Whitey.
All right, good stuff there. Thanks to you, man. Been great all week when you've been in. I'll be back tomorrow with Larry Kruger. Thanks to Grandy. Thanks to Sterling. We'll talk to you then. What's coming up on 95.7 The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, and that is the Warriors Roundtable with Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.